that you live long upon the earth. And there are a lot of kids now who aren't honoring their parents. And we wonder, why do these bad things happen to the kids? Well, teach them in the way that they should go. You know, teach them to honor their parents, their mother and their father. You only have one mother and one father. So I remember somebody said that to me once, and it was before I was even saved. And it got me to thinking. God's a good God. And if you don't honor your father and your mother who you can see, how can you honor God who you can't see? It all ties together. On the back of your bulletins, down at the bottom, you'll see our weekly confession down here. This is actually a daily confession. If you take these bulletins home with you and you read through them just two or three times a day, it'll change your life, because this is the Word of God. It's all quotes from the... Let's read this together. Ready? Read. It's a new day. It's a new me. You make all things new. Your mercies are new every morning. I walk in newness of life. I am a new creation, and I walk in the realities of new life in Christ. I sing a new song each day, filled with the words of life, power, and blessing. My mind is being renewed and fortified with living truth. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. Therefore, my mortal body is being fully supplied with life, health, strength, and the knowledge of what is freely mine in Christ. I put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge of his image in me. I will receive a new name, a glorified body. I have new life and new abilities sufficient for every good work in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. One day you'll have a new name.
That's right.
Jesus will give it to you. Amen. And some of those names, I'm not going to go into that. We don't have time to go into that today. But we're talking about a new image. A new image. You know, when you were born again, there are things that happened inside your spirit that made you brand new. We're going to look at some of that today. So turn with me in the scriptures to Revelation chapter 5. You know, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we'll see him as he is. Beholding him as he is will be such a transformation in us that it'll conform us immediately to everything that he is. We'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. There is no other document in human history ever written that can give us account of who Jesus is and presents him as he is than this word right here. Amen? This word is alive with truth, liberating, powerful, active, authoritative truth. And the word reveals Jesus to us. Amen? It shows us how he is, what he is, all he is, and it shows us how he is, as he is. So let's just open up our. Let's see. I'm not there yet. So let's open up and let's do our confession. Let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. So in Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, it says, "Then he who sat on the throne said," you know, when God speaks, things happen. When he said, "Light be," what happened? It's still happening. "He who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.'" Let that be like ear-splitting thunder to you. "Write," and he said to me, "write these words, for they are true and faithful." God wants us to write things down to keep them in front of our eyes, to keep them in the midst of our heart, to keep his narrative flowing in our life, to keep speaking them, to keep seeing them, to keep hearing them, to just let it flow in our spirit, from our spirit, into our, and out from us. That's the rhythms of life. Like even your heart, blood pump heart, okay? It gives and receives. Your lungs. Breathe in, breathe out. Your lungs give and receive. You're made to give and receive. You're made to take in and give out. But God wants that flow of his life that's in his word, the words that he speaks to us. This word is the word he spoke into the earth through people, and he's speaking it to you today. That word is filled with life. It is filled with healing. It is medicine to all your flesh, your whole body. It is healing to your whole body. Don't ever give up and say, "Well, I guess the doctor's right." No, they're not right. They have a report. They have instruments that are accurate. They can tell you exactly what's wrong with you. But Jesus can tell you who you are and what you have. And healing is one of those things. And it's in the life, in the power of the Word of God. The Word of God is all authoritative, not the doctors. Not your creditors. Not anything else. If you got hacked, they're not the ones in charge. They will soon be incarcerated. But you'll be free. And you'll get back seven times of whatever was stolen from you. Anyhow, because that's what God said. Isn't that right? He said it. Kenneth Hagin wrote something when he was a little kid. Just got healed. Well, he wasn't a little kid. He was 16, 17 years old. He said, "God said it. I believe it. That settles it." And he wrote that in Grandma's Methodist Bible. And his son still has that Bible. He said, "But Grandma's Methodist Bible reads the same as the Baptist Bible, the same as everything, the King James, no matter whose hands it is." Lori, welcome.
Yes.
We prayed for you. And you are an example to all of us. You're walking in faith despite what you feel. And we thank you for your example, your testimony. And God honors that. God honors it. But he said, "He who sits on the throne," who's speaking here? He who sits on the throne. Well, that's a reference to the Father, right? Almighty God. That's who's speaking here. But I believe this is worded in such a way, it really gives us illumination into something that, in a spiritual principle that God is speaking to us, is revealing to us. And that has to do with the throne of our heart. He who sits on the throne of your heart. If you allow him to sit on the throne of your heart and allow him to speak through your heart, into your heart, you're going to experience new things all the time. You'll experience a continual flow of new things. Those old dead, stale places in your life that you don't feel like you have any use. That was who you were once. You could do this. No. He makes all things new. He renews your youth. He said, "I renew your youth like the eagles." He said. What did God say? See, what does the Bible say? That's what God said. And he said, "Behold," or look, "I make all things new." Why are you looking at the old? Look at him who said, "I make all things new." He can bring newness into your marriage. He can bring newness into your relationship with you and your kids, you and himself. He can take those things in your life that are stopping that relationship to flourish that you have with him, and he can break those things away and make everything new, and you can walk in peace with God. You can put your head on your pillow at night and sleep in peace because your heart is clean, and accept it. Say, well, my sin's pretty bad. What did he say? He said, I make all things new. Let him sit on the throne of your heart. Let him start saying, no, 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 that's who you were. That's not who you are. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are everything that, as he is, the Bible says, so are we in this world. 1 John 4:17, write it down. That's a big one. For as he is, so are we in this world. But you need to know it. He said, behold, I make all things new. This is worth writing down and memorizing it, meditating on it. Let it become fixed in your heart and let it start speaking to you. It's adopting truth that rules in your heart. He who sits on the throne of your heart will continue to make things new. He'll touch those areas in your life that need his refreshing, his renewing. Do you see this? Yes. Is it more real to you than just reading an encyclopedia that says he said this? No, this is the living word of God. This is his word to you. Behold, look at the new things I'm doing. Get excited about the new things I'm doing. And if you get, God didn't tell Israel to get out of Egypt. He told them about the land flowing with milk and honey and reaching out for one, they just drop the other. So when you're looking at him, the new things that he's talking to you about, you'll just drop the old things. They won't even hold a candle to what he's giving you now, what he reveals to you by his Spirit, according to his what's in his word for you. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm getting excited about this. Just got happy. Oh, hallelujah to Jesus. Oh, that's the image we need in our soul. We already have that image in our spirit. We were made in the image of God. That doesn't mean we were made in the likeness of God. That happened at the beginning, but things changed. That is the image we need burnished into our soul, burnished like a branding iron, but branding with pure comfort, pure love, pure fire of heaven. Burn that into your soul. God's desire is to bring something new to us every day, to convert those old, stale, crispy, dried up old things in your life and touch it. Make it new. Bring a freshness to it. Strengthen you with his glory and with his beauty. You know, there's so much beauty to God. Look at this. You know, Kat Kerr, when she was in heaven, Jesus told her something about Mary Magdalene, when she was in the garden looking for him, and he had risen from the dead, and she thought he was the gardener. He said, Kat, I love flowers. They are so magnificent. And I was bending and I was smelling the flowers when she said, where have you laid him? And he turned around and he started talking. Then she knew who he was. And he goes, and he said, go tell my disciples and Peter. Don't you love Peter? Yeah. Great apostle. God's got a place for you by him. He has a place for you. So we just sang that this morning. God's desire is to bring something new to us every day. Inside of each one of us is an inward man. That's our spirit. That's our eternal being. It's our spirit. Your spirit looks like you. It has arms, legs, a head, a nose, depending on, you know, what size nose you get. Your spirit looks like you do, We get that from the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. I mean, these people, you'd think that they were still alive in their bodies, but they weren't. Your spirit walks. Your spirit has all your, it has a tongue. Rich man said, have him dip his finger and cool my tongue. See what I mean? Your spirit is who you are. You are a spirit and you're inward man. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says that our inward man is being renewed day by day. It says, therefore, we don't lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Don't look at your outward man. One day, you know, as the flower withers and the grass withers, the flower fades. You know, you get up to 30, 35, 40 years old and you've reached a peak and it doesn't have to be that way. No, that's right. I'll tell you what, I'm an example of that. And I'm not going to dance or anything like that before you. I'm not going to throw a triple twisting one and a half either. I used to. But look, there's no shame in getting old. I mean, we're all going to get old. We all will eventually, you know, shed this tent. And that's really all it is. Dying is nothing more than taking off a coat. There's no pain in death now because Jesus took that. He tasted that for us. So it's just a dropping of our body. When our body doesn't work anymore and we don't need it, it's restricting us, then we just step out of that into the presence of Jesus and he looks right into our eyes and he says, welcome home. Welcome home. And you just want to fall down and tell him how much you love him. The reason people lose heart, become weak, or live a life governed by outward influences rather than that inner witness is because they don't take time to renew their inner man day by day. See, your inner man is your eternal being, but unlike the Holy Spirit, your spirit needs renewing every day. But the Holy Spirit doesn't. He is an endless fount of renewal all the time. All the time. That's why it's so important to pray in tongues. Oh, Rabbah, and you'd be built up, edified. It says, he who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. That means he builds himself up, recharges himself, becomes an edifice. That's where we get the word edifice from, is the word edify. An edifice is an immense structure. That's who you are. When the devil comes along to do something, you got to know that you are immense. You are enormous. Greater is he who is in you. Your spirit man has been endowed with greatness, power. Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses of me. Oh, let the devil witness that in you. Then you can take the little key chain out like this, the keys of the kingdom, and go. And he will go, no, I'm not going to do that. The trick is to know how God does renew our inner man. How does our inner man get renewed day by day? That's the key. If you know that, you become an endless fount of newness all the time, and the devil doesn't even know how to come at you anymore. He didn't know how to come at Jesus. All he could do is rabble-rouse and have people come against him. You notice that? We have. I don't think there's any record. After the devil tempted him in the wilderness, was there any time the devil came to him again after that? Or did he just use people to come against him? He renews us inside the same way that he does everything. By his word, with his word, through his word. He does it by the word. He starts speaking to you. This is important. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. You notice how he's just getting this thing? It's like hammering a nail in. In the beginning was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, the Word. And without him, the Word, nothing was made that was made. Oh, and then it says in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. This is the Word of God that created everything, became the very thing that was created to be like him. Want me to say that again? I don't know if I could. But the Word of God that created everything became the very thing that was created to be like him. God, the Word, became a man. The Word was made flesh. The Word, that's the process. God wants his Word to become flesh in your life, whether it's healing, whether it's being prosperous, whether it's the fruit of the Spirit, exuding the love of God to people, exuding the peace of God to a world that has lost its compass. it's really coming undone because God's the only one who can fix this thing. And a nation that tries to do it without God will fail. Let's get into some of the mechanics of this for a minute. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, let's say, and God said, let's shout that, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the face of the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. How did he bless them? He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. That means to fill up the earth. And so, you know, this is where people, with this word replenish, this is where people get this idea of some pre-Adamic race. What is his name? Phineas Dakes talked about that. But if there was a pre-Adamic race, I don't know, just in case you're wondering, I wasn't there. Yeah, it is. It's good to laugh. It's like a medicine, right? But a pre-Adamic race, it's like if there was, nobody else in the Bible knew about it. So apparently it wasn't there. It's just another thing they make up to try to... But the word replenish, they think because the word re, that prefix is on there, it means to refill. It doesn't. Just because R-E is on the front of something doesn't mean it's redoing. If you receive something, does that mean you've already received it? No, replenish simply means to satiate, to fill, to overflowing. That's what it means. Good? Yeah. So, where are we here? God did it all with his word. God said, how did he bless man? He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, fill it, subdue it, have dominion over it and everything in the earth. He did it through his word. That's how he conferred his authority over and his dominion over to Adam. When man sinned, he died spiritually. He lost the glory of God, but he never lost the image of God. It says in Ecclesiastes 3 somewhere, it says that God placed eternity in the heart of man. That's that image of God, that man longs for God, but doesn't know how to do it. He can't walk with God because he was born from life into death when Adam sinned. And death can't walk with life. Darkness can't walk with light. righteousness doesn't have fellowship. There, you can't do it. But the image was still there. And unlike, contrary to some of the false teaching, there's something else we need to know. Man never lost his dominion in the earth either. Never lost it. God gave it to him. That's where the dominion was. That's why Jesus had to become a man, because that's where the dominion was with man. So unlike those false that say that man lost his dominion, no, he didn't. The devil can't just do stuff. He needs human cooperation. He did in Adam's day. He does now. He can't just do stuff and fly around like somebody who can just do anything he wants. No, if he could have done that, he would have killed you long before you were born again. He can't do anything to you without your cooperation. That's why, you know what? We don't have to be afraid of him. We just don't have to cooperate with him. The devil can't. Flip Wilson. The devil made me do it. Remember Geraldine?
Yeah.
I mean, it was funny, but it wasn't funny because, I mean, we all know that he was, anyhow. So man didn't lose his image of God, and he didn't lose his dominion in the earth. The only, I know the devil is the god of this world, but the only thing that makes him God is his ability to deceive man to do what he wants him to do. And their faith in his lies is how he is the god of this world. He does that with leaders, kings in authority, dictators, president, whatever, and he deceives them. Which is, I'll tell you something, this is why we need to keep leaders in prayer all the time. Because the intense demonic activity at that level is so fierce that they do stuff that's just out of, you know, you can't understand. Why would anybody do that? You got to have outside help to be that stupid. And they do. They have plenty of outside help. And it comes from demons that infiltrate and try to deceive and work their will, the will of Satan, in this world. And that's why Paul called him the god of this world. That's how he does it. And he thinks he's going to get away with it. So Jesus came with power. And his truth revealed the dark deceptions of the enemy. And he just blew him out of the water. He made a show of him openly. How did he do it? He said the truth. Back to John 1:14. The Word. What? The Word. The Word. What? The Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. The Word that created the heavens and the earth was made flesh. There was an old hymn, I think it's a Pentecostal hymn or something, that says he died upon a cross of wood and made the hill on which it stood. I always liked that. But the Word became flesh. You know, that's what words are designed to do. That's why it's important what you say, because your words become flesh too. Jesus taught that. You can have what you say. Kenneth Hagin didn't teach that. Jesus taught it. He was just repeating Jesus. A better way of saying that is that God does everything through his word. He did it from the beginning. He doesn't change. It's just the way he is. In fact, Isaiah put it this way. Isaiah 55, verse 11 says this. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereunto it was sent. So shall my word be. It won't return to me empty of fulfilling its purpose or my pleasure. And it will fulfill his pleasure. And you know what his pleasure is? Blessing you. Making sure that you know all of your redemptive rights and privileges and your citizenship in heaven and all that is available to you in your inheritance. You know, it doesn't matter what people do or say. It matters what you believe. That's where you're concerned. And we have been given that stewardship over our life. Powerful thing. Whatever God wants to accomplish, he does through his word. That's how God's purposes prosper. He does it with, how about you? Have you ever thought, well, my words don't matter. Why would I, you know, why would I enter into that conversation? No, your words do matter. So speak blessings, speak life, speak faith, words of hope, words that empower people with the truth. God says, behold, I make all things new. Let's talk about that for a minute. Because what you don't know does hurt you. What you don't know is what the devil takes advantage of you. When you were born again, instead of life revolving around you, you started revolving around Jesus. He's on the throne of your heart now. You started rearranging your schedule to be at church, to be at Bible study, whatever it is. It was like, man, I have just such a desire. I mean, the people that come in here on Saturdays and clean the toilets and vacuum and stuff like that, it's like, do it with joy. They do, because they just love God. He came to sit on the throne of your heart to rule with love, joy, peace, power, and authority. And the authority you give him is the authority you'll walk in. The authority you give him, his word, is the authority that you'll walk in. The authority is in the word. And if that word lives in you, it'll produce authority in you. Little things add up. See, you may feel like, well, you know, I really don't. Now I feel like I have authority, but when I get home, things change some, and I just don't have the authority. Well, it starts with little things. Little things add up to a big thing. Jesus said, he who is faithful in that which is least shall be made ruler over much. It's the little things that God sees, where we look, what we, how we're so eager to jump into a conversation that we shouldn't be jumping into. These are the little things that add up to a big thing. And do you want to end up confused, or do you want to end up walking in authority? Well, it's the little things. You know, Lori and I, back in 2000, we started a nursing home ministry. And we were in there for 7 years, and there were times when I felt like quitting. And, you know, what good is this doing? But then the Lord, one day when I woke up, I saw, just in my mind's eye, I saw a bunch of people that we ministered to that I know I'll see in heaven who wouldn't have been there if we didn't preach salvation to them. That it's more than religion. It's more than your little, you know, the church you went to all your life. This is something you have to actually receive. And, you know, if you're faithful in the little things that he gives you, he makes you ruler over much. He will give you many things. Because it's faithfulness, that's lies your promotion. And in that faithfulness, he starts to build something that's authoritative in you. Starts with the little things. And I'm not bragging on me, because there's times I wanted to quit that many times, but the Lord kept on reminding me, and he didn't give me anything else to do, so I just figured I'd just stay in it, you know, until he moved me on from that. You know what? We left that ministry in very faithful hands. And a couple of years ago, this is before COVID, we ran into one of the ladies that we, at Costco, we ran into one of the ladies that we handed this over to. It's like to a husband and wife and another leader. Marta was here. And we over to her too. But we ran into her at Costco. I said, are you still in the nursing home ministry? Now, we had not been in that church since 2012, so this was 2018, something like that. So it was like 6 or 7 years. I said, oh, yeah, we're doing great. Da, da, da. I think they even added a new home or nursing home facility. And we chatted for a while, and we walked away. And as I walked away, the Lord said, that was fruit that remains. Amen. It's worth it to be faithful in all of those things that he gives you to do. Yes. It's meaningful to him. And if it's meaningful to him, believe me, he'll share the blessing of that with you. So let's get into this newness. I want to get into this etching, this image that's inside of you, because it's now that you are born again, you're not only in his image, you're in his likeness now. The likeness of God has returned. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name." This verse reveals that you received divine power. The day you became a child of God, the word is divine power. The word power there is exousia. It means delegated authority or influence. The day you chose to make Jesus the Lord of your life, something happened. He delegated you the power and the authority and the divine right to become a child of God. Think of it. At the moment of decision, all power and authority, divine influence that is resident in the name of Jesus came to live on the inside of you. And if that's not enough, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. If any man is in Christ, or anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. This verse says that you are a brand new creation. Now, I went to take Bible classes at this one local university. And one of the professors there, he had 3 doctorates. Now, I don't know if you know what kind of a cerebral giant that is, but having one doctrine is like giving birth to quintuplets. I mean, it's a big deal, but he had 3 of them. Now, this guy was head heavy, and it was zapping power out of his spirit. He was born again, but it's all cerebral. And he says, well, there's no real change that comes when you're born again. I mean, it's no change. And there are a bunch of people, I invite them, say, let's come and just submerse ourselves in the living truth. And let's go into this. Here's what Paul said. The word new creation, second line, new. The word new is the Greek word kainos, and it describes something that is brand new or recently made. You're hot off the wire, folks. It also carries with it the idea of something that is superior. This is from a Greek scholar. This is Rick Renner's definition. This means that when Jesus Christ came into your life, you were made brand spanking new. Brand spanking new. Hallelujah. And the new you is superior to the old you. In fact, you're so new, this verse calls you a new creation. The word creation in here, whoa, this is a big one too. It's the word katesis, K-T-I-S-I-S, katesis, Greek word. Here's what it means. It's the same word used to describe the creation of the universe, creation of this world. This universe was not created of existing elements. It was not created from old elements or existing materials. It was made of something that never existed before. That's this universe. It was made of something that never was before. That's the word that Paul used to describe what happened to you when you were born again. God doesn't refurbish the old wineskin and say, deal with it. No, he makes your spirit man absolutely, totally, 100% new. Yes. The old, what happened to the old? It passed away. Your old man is gone. There's he gone. If you were a White Sox fan, that would mean something to you. So Ken Harrelson, you say, oh, he gone. When they struck out or something. But some of those guys had some expressions, but they stick with you when you hear it. But you know what? You can use that for your old, when those old appetites start coming. We did a WOW on that years ago. Old appetites start coming back and start exalting themselves. You can say, you can say, no, you don't in the name of Jesus. No, Jesus, you obey me. You obey me. I have what? Authority. I've been faithful in this little thing. I'm made ruler over much. I can ruin your whole deal, Hoss. I got the gates of hell knocked in by this little key. And all of that work he does to try to build these gates of hell around your mind, just one little key. Floods of living water. So new means something that's recently made or brand new, superior than it was, and it means that it was made with things that don't even exist until they existed in you. You are his, very uniquely a person, a child of God that he created. And he looks at you different from everybody else, although that we are all part of the same body, and he looks at you as his dear one. This is the tender love of God. Psalm 103, verse 12 says this. As far as the east is from the west, your old man doesn't even have any rights. He's dead. Everybody say, old man, you are dead. You are gone. Why am I talking to you? As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. You know, I like the east-west continuum. Jonathan Kahn brought this out too. He says from north to south, there's an end to that because you get to the South Pole and then you keep going and then you start heading north. But east-west, it isn't like that. You can never reach the end of the west. It's as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. That's how far your old man is from you. Everybody say, he gone.
He gone.
He gone. He gone. Now, what we need to do is maintain our spirit. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. And you'll see it says in verse 23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Or out of it are, spring, the issues of life. This word issue means to flow like a river flows. It's an issue, like the woman had the issue of blood. It was a flow. The word, it says keep your heart. The word keep is the word, is the Hebrew word natsar. N-A-W-T-S-A-R would be an English translation. But it means to guard and protect, but it also means to preserve and maintain. It's a twofold word. It's just as much offensive as it is defensive. Some of the translations say, guard your heart with all diligence. They're doing a disservice to this word. Because it's not just a defensive guarding all the time. It's maintaining it, preserving it, filling it with the right things. Like a shepherd keeping his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. This is maintenance, feeding your spirit the right thing. We feed on his faithfulness, Psalm 37 says. Feed on his faithfulness. Feed your spirit the right thing. This is how you renew your inner man. Feeding on the Word of God. Not just reading it and saying, yeah, I read that already. Yeah, that's good. Let's next. No, dwell on it. Meditate on it. When you meditate on the Word of God, it starts to build truth into you and release its power in you. That's what happens when you meditate on the Word of God. When you think on these things and you start feeding your spirit, building it up, feeding on the Word of God. That's how you bring renewal to your inner man, and then you won't get weak in faith. So to feed on his word builds those truths into our spirit. The root system begins to take effect. It becomes the engrafted word, which is God, which lives in you, which produces the fruit of God in your life. New image God's word gives us is authoritative. Remember that. It is not bossy and arrogant. It's authoritative and confident. A big difference there. So number one, God desires to make all things in our life new. Everything in our life new. Even our driving. She's looking at me. I'm working on it. Ouch. Yeah. Well, yeah. You got to drive defensively and offensively, I say. You know, it's like strategic driving. But anyhow. But he desires to make all things new. And your heart. Feed your heart the right things. Bring newness, new things, new understanding, new knowledge, new health, new strength. Lots of new things in your life. Number two is whatever God wants to accomplish, he does it through his word. So stay in his word. His word is the accomplisher. That's how he does things. It's effortless change by feeding on his word. In fact, you can change effortlessly just by feeding on the word of God. Then you could 100 years of trying to do the right thing. You can never do the right thing. It's the word of God reproducing itself in you that brings effortless change. God wants to accomplish in you through his word what his will and ways are. Let his word dwell richly in you, the Bible says. Let it work in you mightily. Number three is God wants to establish his authority in you. Be faithful in the little things, and he'll make you ruler over many things. There's too many Christians feeling unworthy, feeling like they don't deserve anything. And it's true, you don't. We don't deserve anything. That's what grace is. But grace is also empowerment to those who know that it's not them, it is God. And the more they submit to God, the more empowerments they get. The more they empty themselves of their own will, the more of his will they will enjoy. And the amount of authority, the amount of time you let him sit on the throne of your heart and rule is the authority that you'll walk in. Number four. Say this. I am completely new. I am a new creation. I am ready to be unveiled to God's biggest enemy. And I have the keys of the kingdom. You are a completely new creation, not a remake of the old. There is no connections to you and the old you. You are a superior person to what you used to be. When God comes into your life, he makes you better, not worse. Amen? You're not a Jesus freak. You're a son and a daughter of the living God. Amen? God loves you, and he came to empower you to take away the weakness, to take away the whatever. Let's stand up. God loves you, and he came to empower you. He came to make all things new in your life. He came to give you a hope and a future worth living. If you